Hello, I'm Brandon House, and welcome to the Worldview Weekend Hour. Today, part two of The Sovereign Providence and Will of God. The Sovereign Providence and Will of God. Let's do just a quick review for those who maybe did not see program number one, or maybe you did. It's been a week or more since you've seen program one. So let's do a quick review and then move on with part two of The Sovereign Providence and Will of God. We define sovereign, which means God is supreme ruler, God is all-powerful, God has total rule. I showed you passages of Scripture that reveal that God is sovereign and all-powerful, including Colossians 1:17, Hebrews 1:3. I then defined for you, and other passages as well, I then defined for you providence. Providence is God ordaining what comes to pass, God ordaining and directing our lives according to His will. God knows everything we're going to do and is aware of every detail. And then I showed you passages of Scripture that reveal God's sovereignty, or excuse me, God's providence, such as Matthew 10, 29 to 31, talks about a sparrow cannot fall apart from your Father's will. Not a sparrow falls, he doesn't know it. He is aware of every hair on your head. So it shows his providence, his being aware of every detail in our life. So Matthew 10, 29 to 31 would help to show us in the Scriptures the idea of providence, again, meaning God's ordaining what comes to pass, or God knows everything we're going to do and is aware of every detail. I showed you Genesis 50, verse 20, where Joseph said to his brothers after they'd sold him into slavery and he ended up being a ruler in Egypt. And he said to them in Genesis 50, verse 20, "But as for you, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good." We see God being totally sovereign, having total rule, and then providentially moving in the affairs of man. And I showed you other passages of Scripture that reveal God's providence. So we defined sovereignty, showed you Scripture. Defined providence, showed you Scripture. And then I began to lay out for you some facts about God's will. And we looked at number one, which was God has ordained His will for us before time began. And I gave you Scripture on that. And then we looked at point number two, which was God reveals His will in His Word. And we looked at John 17:17 and Psalm 119, verse 105, and other passages of Scripture. And then point number three was the Holy Spirit illuminates the Word and will of God. That was point number three. The Holy Spirit illuminates the Word and will of God. We looked at Psalm 119, verse 133, Romans 12:2, and other passages of Scripture. And then we finished up with point four, part of point four. We didn't finish all of point four, but we got started on point four, which was the Holy Spirit leads us in God's will. The Holy Spirit leads us in God's will. And I showed you Proverbs 16, verse 9. And I want to spend a little more time talking about this because we covered this right at the end of the program. So I was rushing to get through. But I want to spend a little more time on point four, finish up point four, but spend a little more time on Proverbs 16, verse 9 and Psalm 37, verse 4. We kind of had to rush through. But remember now, point four is the Holy Spirit leads us in God's will. Proverbs 16, verse 9 says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." The word heart and mind are often used in the Scripture interchangeably. Sometimes I think in one of my books, I think it is the fact I have that the word heart and mind is used sometime about 832 times. It's over 800 times. The words heart and mind are used and they're interchangeable sometimes. Sometimes you could interchange the word heart and mind for each other over 800 times, if I remember correctly. And so the Bible says that a man's heart or a man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. You want your heart to plan righteous things, right living? You want your heart to plan good things, righteous things? Then you need to be in the Word of God. And we saw that last week, didn't we? But our heart plans our ways, our mind plans our ways, and the Lord directs our step. But if you want your heart to plan what is good and what is righteous, you got to be in the Word of God. And we see that, don't we, in the Scriptures. Like Psalm 37:4, "Delight yourself also in the Lord." How do we delight ourselves in the Lord? By studying His Word. How do we know the character and nature of Lord God Almighty? By studying His Word. So delight yourself in the Lord, or delight yourself in the law of the Lord. And then what's it say? "And He shall give you the desires of your heart." and you say, wow, you mean I might actually get that yellow Corvette, that yellow convertible Corvette I've been wanting? So if I delight myself in the Lord, I study His word, I'm going to get these things that I've been wanting, like a Corvette or a big house or a big fancy yacht. You mean that's what this verse means? No, that's not what this verse means. What this verse is saying is, if you delight yourself in the Lord, if you study God's word, you're walking in faithfulness and obedience, that process of sanctification. Remember, when we're saved, justification. But then the process of sanctification begins. Studying God's word, Holy Spirit illuminating God's word to us, and we're involved in faithfully, obediently living according to God's word. What is God's word? A reflection of his character and nature. And as I do that, guess what? The desires of my heart are going to change. And then all of a sudden, I see the Lord leading my mind, my heart plans things, and the Lord directs my steps. And all of a sudden, desires I once had, I no longer have. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong for you to have a yellow convertible Corvette. Nothing wrong with that, as long as you're financially able to afford it, you're not going into debt. You know, there's biblical principles we use for money. We've discussed that before. So there'd be nothing wrong with having something like a nice ski boat or a convertible Corvette. Not saying that. What I'm saying is, if your heart and your mind has been focused on worldly, material possessions and things, as you are first, hopefully, become a believer, clearly, that's God's number one will for you, is to become a believer, first and foremost. We'll see that in a minute. But once you're a believer and you're studying God's word and you're involved in the Holy Spirit illuminating God's word, you're going to start to see old things pass away. The Bible says, behold, all things become new. And all of a sudden, the things that you used to want to do, you don't want to do anymore. The places you wanted to go, you don't want to go anymore. The kind of people you used to hang out with, who are maybe worldly people that mock the Lord, you don't want to hang out with them. You may want to share the gospel with them, but you're not wanting to make those your close friends and hang out with them, because a man is known by the company he keeps. You don't want to be influenced by them and their lifestyle. All of a sudden, you know, if your motive in life was to be very wealthy or famous or a movie star, all of a sudden your heart begins to change, because the word of God is changing your heart and your mind. And all of a sudden you have new desires. And so delight yourself also in the Lord, Psalm 37:4 says, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Not saying, oh, if I study God's word, I'm going to get all the things I want, all these worldly things, now I'm going to get them. That's not what it's saying. If you delight yourself in the Lord, if you delight yourself in the law of the Lord, his word, you're going to start having new desires. And the Lord is going to give you the desires of your heart. For instance, I brought up the Contend 2014 conference in our last program. And people might say, Brandon, how'd you know it was God's will that you hold this conference for high school and college students as you did in January of 2014? Well, I didn't have to pray about that to the point of, Lord, should I equip people in biblical truth? Should I teach people to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints? No, because God's word tells us to do that, right? To go ye therefore into the world and make disciples, right? And so we don't have to pray about certain things, because God's word already tells us. Do we need to pray, Lord, do you want me to be sanctified? No, we don't need to pray about that. The Bible says that as Christians, we're to be sanctified, constantly walking in faithfulness and obedience in that sanctification process. Lord, do you want me to be thankful? Is it your will that I'm thankful? No, we don't need to pray, Lord, am I to be thankful? Is your will that I'm thankful? Because we know it's God's will that we're thankful. Now, we may need to pray, Lord, help me to be thankful, but we don't need to pray, Lord, is it your will that I'm thankful? No, because his word says we're to be thankful. So there's a lot of things people pray about that they don't need to pray about, because God's word's already spoken to that and says, you need to be sanctified, walking in truth and obedience. You need to be thankful. You need to abstain from sexual immorality. God's word's already spoken on that. But there are things that we pray about that we might achieve them. Lord, help me to be thankful. Lord, help me to walk in righteousness. Now, when it comes to the Contend 2014 conference, I didn't have to spend a lot of time praying about, should I do that? I did, as I said last week, prayed about, Lord, give me wisdom to invite the right speakers, the right topics, to find a building that we can use, a facility. I prayed, Lord, put it on the heart and mind of adults to providentially move in their life, that they would bring young people with them. And we had young people from 23 states registered for that conference. And there's a picture on the screen right now of the wonderful turnout we had. God gave me the desire to do that, I believe. as I study His Word, as I delight in His Word, I have the desire to do something like Contend 2014. And I had the desire to do that, and I had the desire that it would be something that was well attended, and that young people would be equipped and encouraged, and that adults from all over the country would join us in that ministry, a partnership in ministry, and bring young people. And guess what? The Lord gave me the desire of my heart. But who gave me that desire to start with? The Lord did. So as I delight in God's Word, as I study God's Word, things that I used to want, things I used to want to accomplish or achieve or obtain, I really don't care about those things anymore. I now have new desires, new goals and objectives. And the Lord has given me those desires or goals or objectives. And so I'm able to accomplish them. The Lord gave them to me to do. He placed in my heart to do them. And then He directs my step. So again, I go back to Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart or mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And then Psalm 37:4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. You want to have godly desires? You want to have righteous desires and motives and goals and objectives for life? Study God's Word. And the Holy Spirit will lead you in that. And that's point four. The Holy Spirit leads us in God's will. Remember now, point three was that it's the Holy Spirit that illuminates the Word and will of God. So we got to be in the Word. The Holy Spirit illuminates the will and Word of God. And then four, the Holy Spirit leads in God's will. And I think that is exactly what we saw firsthand with our Contend 2014 conference. Well, I'd also point you to Psalm 119, verse 133. Psalm 119, verse 133. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Direct my steps how? By a vision? By a dream? By a mystical experience? By loud sirens and bells going off? No. Direct my steps by your word. You know, many people today, as I said in our last program, are looking for some easy answer. They want a vision. They want a dream. They want some kind of mystical, extra-biblical revelation. That is not of the Lord. The Bible actually says it is a wicked generation that seeks after a sign and a wonder. The Bible speaks of those dreamers of dreams. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, it speaks of these false teachers promoting this idea of getting visions and dreams. The Bible warns about false prophets who do these kind of things and false teachers that do these kinds of things. And we know that today, while the Lord spoke in those ways in the past, in the New Testament church, He speaks through His Word. Hebrews 1 speaks to this fact that the Lord used to speak, the Lord God Almighty used to speak through His prophets. Now He speaks through His Son, the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then what we read in the Scriptures? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So today the Lord speaks not through prophets and apostles and visions and dreams, but through His Word and the Holy Spirit illuminating that Word. And so Psalm 119, verse 33 doesn't say direct my steps by a vision or a dream or extra-biblical revelation or through a mystical experience that I go into the silence or walk a labyrinth or involved in transcendental meditation, which is now called contemplative prayer and breath prayers and centering prayers, and have a physical, literal encounter with God as one of the young people that makes up that band and that movement known as Jesus Culture talks about encountering God. Or Richard Foster talks about having a physical, literal confrontation with God in the silence. This is all what Richard Foster is promoting, going into the silence. That's what the New Agers promote. I have audio and video of New Agers talking about going into the silence. And the Bible says to be have nothing to do with these kind of things. Nothing to do with these kind of things. But that's what a lot of people today want. They want an easy, easy way to have some kind of esoteric knowledge, hidden knowledge, also known as Gnosticism. Gnosticism is higher knowledge. And that's what we see in the epistles. John writing about and others writing about warning about this Gnosticism. People who want higher knowledge, and they often get that higher knowledge through occult practices. It's really demonic knowledge. Gnosticism, mysticism. And that's not how a believer is to operate at all. In fact, the Bible says in 1 John, a believer will not operate that way. A believer will reject the idea of Gnosticism, hidden knowledge, occultic hidden knowledge through occultic practices. That a believer receives the will of God through the Word of God as the Holy Spirit illuminates the Word to them and helps them understand it. So the Bible doesn't say direct my steps by your word, by a mystical experience, but by your word. But a lot of people today don't want to do that because that takes time. Remember I told you last week, the Bible says that an approved workman, be an approved workman who is not ashamed but can rightfully divide the word of truth. It takes work. I can't tell you the number of hours I spend preparing this television program and studying the Bible and looking up the verses and cross-referencing the verses and making sure that I'm coming to you teaching these verses in context. Not just ripping out one verse and saying, okay, let's apply it. That sounds good. No, I've got to go study and know the context to make sure I'm applying it correctly and teaching it correctly and involved in what's called good hermeneutics or exegesis versus eisegesis, bringing my opinion onto the scriptures. I don't want to be involved in eisegesis. I want to be involved in exegesis, really teaching what the Word of God says in context. Now that takes work, and that's what we're to do. Be approved workmen who are not ashamed and who are rightfully dividing word of truth. A lot of people today, they don't want to work. They don't want to work to know the will of God, which comes again through the Word and the Holy Spirit illuminating the Word to us. A lot of folks don't want to do that. Too much work. What they want is a microwave Christianity. They want a 30-second answer now. And some of them who are not believers, will get involved in, they think they are, they're tares, they're goats, and they'll get involved in occultic experiences, thinking this is how I'll know the will of God. This is how I'll have God or Jesus direct my steps. What they end up encountering, my friends, is a demon posing as Jesus. Did you hear what I just said? The demons will pose as Jesus. Absolutely. There are many famous New Agers who have written books that they said were given to them by Jesus. But it wasn't the Jesus of the Bible. It was a demon posing as Jesus. Whether it's Alice Bailey in her book, The Occultist Alice Bailey, or Helen Schuckman, there's a lot of them that have claimed to have gotten an entity speaking to them. Alice Bailey claimed to have this entity known as the Tibetan talk to her. Helen Schuckman claimed to have had an entity named Jesus. But the entity made it really clear it was not the Jesus of the Bible. Isn't that interesting?